promise I'm going to try to be as brief as I can. When it comes to Liberia, I'm always a little bit emotional. But everything that I'm going to say from Isaiah, this chapter that we are familiar with, if you don't get anything, get this. If we're going to serve God, we must first seek the place of prayer. And then in the place of prayer is where God shows us, you know, things are in our life. And it is where the cleansing also happens. And God is the one that does it. And then when he has done his work of cleansing, then he can set us on a wavelength to go for him in mission. So, and that's what happened to Isaiah here. You know, the vision of God broke upon his soul when he entered into the temple courtyard. And then he saw himself, the sinfulness of his heart. And then after that, the Great Commission, go. So there's lesson that we can learn from Isaiah. What time was it? Verse 1 says, the year that Uzziah died. Uzziah was a good king to start up with. He was righteous. He honored God. But he grew in pride, arrogant. And we read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. You want to know about, as you know, King Uzziah. And then he left the Lord. And the Lord punished him with leprosy. And he died as a leper. And Isaiah is related to King Uzziah. In fact, they were cousins, according to the Jewish tradition, as well as many scholars who have written on him. So it was a difficult time for Israel as well. Leadership was corrupt. They had perverted God's glory with many other things. So this young man, God called him. And the first thing Isaiah did is, you know, to go into the presence of God. And the vision of God broke upon him. Visions is one of the methods that God spoke to his people during the Old Testament time. But again, people use vision all the time. Today, I believe that God speaks to us through his written word, as well as the Holy Spirit in us. So God speaks through his word today. But in the past, one of the ways he spoke was through vision. So Isaiah goes before the Lord during national crisis problem. And of course, we have that now today in our country. We're going through, the church is going through problems. You know, they're trying to sort out how does the Bible speak to our today's situation. You know, the issue of gender, you know, different issues. And this is a time that I believe Christians need to be in the presence of God in prayer for his wisdom. National crisis, spiritual problem, moral bankruptcy, and Isaiah goes into the temple. And he says, I saw the Lord. He saw his person. He saw God himself. You know, not just God. He saw his power. He's sitting on the throne. So he saw God himself, his person, and his power. Then he sees his purpose. He said, look, holy, holy is the Lord God, as the angelic beings, you know, declare. And what is it? His purpose, that his holiness will fill the earth. His holiness will fill the earth. So when Isaiah has seen the outshining of the glory of God, what happened? he comes down to confess. He said, look, I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, and so I have become filthy. You know, the community, the you know, the life of the people that we live among, sometimes it does impact our life. And in fact, it challenges our Christian living, our walk with God. I know that for sure. When I'm in Liberia, I sometimes get angry. In fact, you know, I get angry with some, you know, I went to a school with a guy who did not have anything. Up to 2009 or 2006, I was helping him with rent, you know, with his house rent from here. Now he's become MP or representative. And today he bought a house in Minnesota and sent his sister to go and live there and sent his three children to go to school in Minneapolis. And then he has a big house. He has, you know, Mercedes. And just meeting with him recently, I got angry with him. I said, but look, you were just a poor guy recently. I'm not jealous of your wealth, but where are you getting the money from? And when I left, I said, wow, you know, people's life do impact us. I don't usually get angry like that so quick. And he's my friend. And when I went home, he phoned me, he said, you know, brother, dad, I mean, you know, why were you so angry with me? And I told him, I said, look, you are corrupt because you didn't have this money or all these things recently. And he sends his wife to the States to go for medical checkup. And when he has a break, he goes in America. So people we live among, they do impact our life. And this is where we need to be in the presence of the Lord. And so Isaiah saw his own heart, the sinfulness of his life. And he said, I am unclean, Lord. And one of the angelic beings touched his lips. And I always say to people, you know, that touch was a deeper touch. It was a touch on the heart. It's a touch of cleansing. And that's what the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does. When we see our own shortcomings, our sinfulness, and we turn to him in prayer and ask him. You know, the scripture is abundantly clear that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what happened here to Isaiah. So when he has been touched and purged and clean, he was now ready to go to serve. And God says to him, go. Go. You know, and he received, that is the great commission. No one can go out there to serve the Lord without being cleansed. And this is where sometimes we get things wrong. I mean, I work with a lot of missionaries, and I have seen some struggling, and they say, no, I should have done this before that. You know, just recently we have to refuse a young man. You know, everything on his CV was brilliant. The background he came from. But then it came to the point where we realized that, in fact, he has been engaged into something before his application, and he had not dealt with it. And I took him aside, and I said, I just wish you have dealt with this issue before even applying to come and serve. So we had to reject him, you know, from coming in. But here we see Isaiah. He's saying, look, I saw his power. And then he was able to confess his sin. And now, right there, say, go and tell. The Great Commission is clear on that. We are to go to make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Only when we see God that we sense our own needs, and that when we have been cleansed, then we are able to serve God. Isaiah's response was clear. Here am I. Send me. here am I, because I'm ready for the job to do. Because God, you have done your part. So I am ready to go. And God says, go. But the people you go into, it's not going to be easy. You know, I say this when I go on a tour, like I was talking about Felix. Felix said to me, Dada, this area is very rich. It's Jewish area. The people have money. They won't listen to us. And I told him, I said, it doesn't matter. We're going with the presence of the Lord. In fact, he has gone before us. And we met an elderly lady who came to the door. And I mean, from the look, you know, in fact, at the entrance of her house, she has a big expensive car sitting and another one. And then when she opened the door, I said, wow, you must be, I just told her, I said, you must be very rich. She said, well, you know, things are good. And she said, I said, is that you who own those cars? He said, no, one is for my son. My son comes to work, he brings his car and leaves it here and gets on the train and go into the city. So the conversation went on, and at this time I was asking her, I said, you know, just saying all kind of rubbish. And then she started to, of course, smile and everything. And she said to me, if I had known you, I would have invited you in. It was cold as well. I would have invited you in for a cup of coffee or tea. And I said, but we can find another way around it. Maybe I can keep at the entrance of the door, and you make the cup of tea. I'm willing to wait as long as you can, and then you bring it for me. And she said, oh, sure? Yes. And she went in. I said, the keto will take maybe 2-3 minutes. And she went in and boiled the keto and brought me the cup of coffee. And then Felix was on the other side of the building. He joined me. And then he came, and the same lady made a cup of tea for him. And we were standing at the entrance. And we had a very, very good conversation. In fact, she asked us, what you guys are about? So we were able to share, you know, what we were doing while we were going around, how the Bible say go and meet people. It didn't say, you know, post some posts and texts and all of that, but go in person and see faces and smile with them and let them see everything of you and tell them of the gospel. Now, that lady said to me, that elderly lady said to me, anytime you are around, make sure you call in. You know, Felix is excited about that. So the point is that, you see, God cleanses us to go, and he goes with us. And so here he said, the people are not going to be easy, but the purpose of God, his mission is to redeem Israel. And he said, look, Israel is going to be destroyed. It's going to be the tree that is cut, but the stump will be there, and it's going to shoot up with new leaf. And with that purpose, it gives me the zeal that God's desire is to redeem the world. And that's what was happening here, or that's what happened here with Isaiah. So I just want to encourage, everything I'm saying to you is for me. I just want to encourage you this morning that wherever we are, we find ourselves, even at home, in our community, Christ is still on the throne. He is God who is almighty, powerful. Kings sit on the throne. And that's what Isaiah saw. His person, his power, and his purpose for his glory to fill this earth. For God's knowledge to be invested in every man and woman, boys and girls. And we are his instruments to do that. You know, God put us here, like I say to my diaspora people. I say, wherever you exist, when you read the book of Acts, it speaks of he has dispersed us to seek him more. But more than that, to seek him and to serve him where he has placed us. This is one of the things that gave me confidence in reaching out in London. Because when I first came, I was in Northern Ireland, I was with Faith Mission, and I used to go around door to door, and I was shy, because I go and they tell me, oh, I'm Presbyterian Church, I'm Roman Catholic, and I didn't know where to start. But you know, Acts chapter 17, going through it, I realized that, hey, Dada, God has brought you in this country for you to share his gospel. And that was a kind of freedom for me, liberation for me. So God has put us wherever we are, in our home, in our community, to bring his gospel. And his aim is to redeem this world, to redeem all boys and girls, men and women, whosoever, religious people, even most of our Anglican people. If you are Anglican, you can take me off of that, and I know what I'm talking about. So, and again, I want to say thank you for your prayers and for your support. And please keep praying for us. We can reach, our prayers and support can reach where we will never reach. I mean, I spoke to a lady recently in Liberia. It was my first time meeting her. We supported that lady. She had a lot of health problems. Her husband left her. We sent her to hospital. And, you know, things were put right. And that lady is healthy. When I was visiting, she came to me with a big rooster just to thank me. And she said, you are the one that restored my home. My husband is back with me. You know, look at how healthy I'm looking. Now, it was my first time meeting that lady. You know, things that, you know, we can reach with the gospel to places that we ourselves would never be able to reach. So thank you for your prayer. Thank you.